You're listening to audio from Cornerstone Covenant Church in Big Spring, Texas. Thank you so much for joining us online. To find more resources or to donate to this amazing ministry, please visit us at cccbigspring.org or text your amount to 84321. Hey, we're so glad that you're here. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God.
Listen, let's dive right into this. There's a couple of things that I want to share with you. I believe that is important because I believe God is going to do something really powerful in the hearts of every person here as it relates to what we're going to share in the Word of God. The first thing I want to share with you, there's about three things that I want to share with you right at the beginning. The first thing is this. The quality of your life is oftentimes, listen to this, quality of your life is oftentimes determined by the quality of your choices. The reason I use the word oftentimes is because sometimes our lives are impacted oftentimes by other people's choices as well. It is not just totally our choices. If you're in covenant, if you're in relationship, if you're in partnership, if you're a co-laborer with somebody, you are impacted by their choices. But you need to understand, more times than not, you are mostly impacted by your own choices. So the quality of your life will oftentimes determine the quality of your choices. The second thing I want you to know, according to Genesis, and for the sake of time and sake of rhythm, I want to just flow through this. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter, if you read verses 11, 12, and 13, one of the things that if you take that and make a sandwich out of that 11, 12, and 13th verse, this is what you'll discover, and that is this. Everything reproduces after its own kind. Everything reproduces after its own kind. The third thing I want you to understand is Genesis, the 8th chapter, the 22nd verse says something very powerful. It says, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed, time, harvest. Seed, time, harvest. Say that with me. Seed, time, harvest. That's going to help you if we're going to talk about what it means to be a cycle breaker and what it means to break a cycle. We need to understand that everything, long as the earth remains, there will be seed, time, and harvest. Now, the first question we must ask ourselves is this. What is a cycle? Is he talking about a motorcycle? Is he talking about some other type of scientific cycle? Well, when I say the word cycle, I want you to understand, and so that we're on the same sheet of music, I'm using this as our definition, and that is a cycle, for the sake of our discussion, is a series of events that are regularly repeated in the same manner or order. I'm going to say it again. It's a series of events that are regularly repeated in the same manner, pattern, or order. We see this in our lives. We see political cycles or election cycles, as they call them. Sometimes, and for some of us who know, if you're talking about a woman's menstrual cycle, that is something that is also on a cycle. Matter of fact, when you study Genesis, the first chapter, the fact that there is day and night, night and day, that is actually an indication of a cycle. Now, you need to understand that when it comes to what God spoke to us about creation in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, he's really using the illustration or the picture of what it means to sow a seed. Somebody say, sow your seed. Yeah, when you're talking about sowing a seed, it means that a decision must be made. Amen. In other words, to sow a seed is not a passive act. It is an active, intentional act. It is not passive. To sow, amen, the seed. And when we talk about a seed, I'm not talking about sometime when you come to church, people say sow a seed, you immediately think about money. I'm not talking about money. I'm actually talking about action. I'm talking about attitude. I'm talking about the words that we speak are all seeds. Matter of fact, the Bible says the sower went out to sow. Some of it fell on stony ground. Some of it fell among the thorns. The seed that was sown is actually words or the word of God. So did you know that your words can actually be a seed? So with that being said, I want you to think about that as we go through the narrative of the text today. So we sow a seed. And in order to make a decision to sow, you need to understand it literally means to decide. Did you know that when you decide something, something else has to die? Did you know that? In other words, when you have an option of A, B, and C, and you choose C, C becomes your choice. Did you know B and A becomes dead in the act of making a choice, the decision? Hey, amen. I'm not to say that it's not in the back of your mind as it relates that it used to be a choice. But once a choice is made, A and B is now irrelevant. And so you need to understand that when you make a decision, you must be intentional. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. But once the seed is sown, you go through the germination process. It goes through development. It goes to growth. And after this takes place, then you have time. And this is the part that weighs heavy on us, because time is unpredictable. We don't know if it's going to be a short time. We don't know if it's going to be a long time. But listen, anytime you're dealing with the T-I-M-E word, anytime you're dealing with time, it's going to require that you operate in patience. I know that's an ugly word. Matter of fact, most of us was brought up saying, don't pray for patience. Can I tell you this? It doesn't matter if you pray for patience or not. It's a byproduct of being a believer. Amen. I know, because we quoted the scripture, amen, don't pray for patience because it brings about trials and tribulations. And I understand, I get it. But did you know that you're going to get trials and tribulations even if you don't pray for patience? Because the Bible says that patience may have her perfect work. So God has so designed it, not your prayer. God has so designed it that you, when you're going through, he's actually allowing patience to develop something inside of you. And the parents said, amen. So here we go. We talk about the seed being sown. We talk about time. And the reason that time is important is because it's not that it just requires patience, but you must make an intentional decision to cultivate that which you've planted. You do that by watering it with encouragement. You do that by feeding it. You do that by operating with weed control. Why? Because we know on God's timetable, it's only a matter of time before that thing comes to fruition. But when you are not feeling like time is on your side, rather than cultivating it, rather than watering it, rather than doing weed control, we have a tendency to uproot what we planted. Anybody ever done that? You get impatient, and so you uproot what God has told you to do. So you have seed sown, you have time, you have now the harvest. So anytime you have been faithful through sowing, anytime you've been faithful during the time, you need to also recognize that the harvest will eventually yield its fruit. So again, seed, time, and harvest. You have the seed sown, you have time, and then you have the harvest. And guess what happens? The cycle repeats itself. Out of your reaping, you take seed and you replant it. And guess what you do? You sow seed, you have time. Once the time has passed, you harvest. Once the harvest is showed up, then you must do the big work, and that is reap. Once you reap, you repeat the cycle. So this brings me to my first point that I want to share with you. I only have four, and here's the first one. And that is, don't move from your purpose. Every person in here has a purpose. If you're a parent, you have a purpose. If you're a business owner, you have a purpose. If you are a manager, if you are a person that is breathing, God did not create you to steal oxygen. You have a purpose. Well, Pastor Willie, I don't know my purpose. Then seek God until he shows you what it is. But you need to know that you have a purpose, and that's why the devil fights you the way he fights you. Do you understand that temptation? Lord, don't let me get ahead of myself. Look here, let me prove it to you. Let me prove. Some of you from Missouri, let me help you. Listen, Galatians 6 and 7 says, do not be deceived. Is that what your Bible says? He says in Galatians 6 and 7, he says, listen to this, he says, be not deceived. The word deceived there in the Greek is the word, Greek word, planaio. Say that with me, planaio. Come on, see, you didn't know you knew Greek. Come on, one more time, planaio. Planaio is a Greek word that means a minimum of four things. The first thing it means is to seduce. It means to seduce. But it also means deception with or for a purpose. It is deception with or for a purpose. Anytime temptation comes in your life, it is not just because you're tempted. The enemy launches a strategic attack for a specific reason. Here it is. He sends it to deceive you, to move you from your purpose. That's why my first point is, don't be moved from your purpose. Because anytime seduction comes, anytime, listen to this, deception comes, if you're here doing what you're supposed to be doing by the hand of God, by the grace of God, by the direction of God, temptation will come and try to pull you, lead you from where you're supposed to be over to a place of disobedience. Now, the reason that happens, stay with me here, the reason that happens is because you have a purpose. And the enemy's job is to take you from your purpose. And anytime you move from a purpose, his job now is to take you into a prison. In other words, he has to lock you in bondage because he never wants you to go back and wander again to your purpose. Why? Because it's one thing to be bound. It's one thing to be in a prison. It's another thing to know that the enemy got you the first time. He ain't gonna get me the second time. So he don't want you over here in your prison getting smarter. He wants to keep you in that addiction. He wants to keep you bound. So this Greek word, planaio, it means to seduce. It means to take you from a purpose with an intention of leaving you astray. Here it is. That's the second part. And that is the third part of that Greek word literally means to be led astray. To be led astray. To be led astray is different from being led away. And that word literally means both. The first one is this. It means to be led astray. It means literally to be removed or taken from the place, listen to this, of truth. So here you are in a place where the truth of God's word is, the truth is there. I heard somebody say the truth will make you free. Isn't that right? So here you are. You're in the truth. So the enemy's job is to seduce you, to deceive you, and from moving away from the truth. That word also means from a place of safety. So the enemy's job is to move you from a place of safety. Listen to this. Don't miss this. It also means to move you from a place of virtue. Move you from that place of virtue. Look at your neighbor and say, don't move. Oh, you looked at the wrong neighbor. Look at your other neighbor and say, whatever you do, don't move. So here the enemy tries to move you from your purpose, from safety, from truth, and from virtue. So it means to be led astray, but that word also means to not just be led astray, it means to be led away. So I'm going to take you over here. When you think about temptation, there was this story about this woman who was a middle-aged woman, very well-to-do. We would say she's wealthy. Had a lot of means, had a lot of influence. She goes to this banquet, and she sits down. She is unescorted. She comes to this banquet. She sits down, and she happens to sit close to this a handsome young man, very handsome, good-looking guy. He was fine. You can say fine in church. Y'all do know that, right? Okay, so he's fine. And so she leans over to him. She leans over to him, and she says, I'll give you $25,000. If you spend the night with me. He said, absolutely. She ponders, she stops, and she leans over again and she says, I'll give you $50 if you spend the night with me. He looked at her and said, woman, what kind of man you think I am? Her response was, we've already established what kind of man you are. We're just now trying to determine your price. Come on, you tracking with me, you following. Okay, so here we go. So the thing is, you have to understand, the enemy is always offering you something. He's now trying to determine your price, but you need to look at that book and say, I've already been bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness here? So, look at your neighbor and say, don't move from your purpose. That's the first one. Here's my second one. Stays in the same text, same verse. And number two is maintain a positive attitude. Notice in the text he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Say that with me. God is not. He uses this Greek word, mutarizo. Mutarizo is a Greek word that means a minimum of three things. The first one is, it means when he says God is not mocked, the word in the Greek literally means, listen to this, to frown. You ever had to say something and then somebody frowned? Like they didn't believe it or they were dismissed? You come on now. Some of y'all faces look dead right now. You know, like you got baptized in lemon oil. You know what I'm saying? Just, it means to frown. Listen to this. It also means to ridicule. Ridicule. You can look it up for yourself. But you know what's funny? This word also means to turn one's nose up at. You ever heard that phrase? Ooh, she turned her nose. He turned his nose up at the suggestion of that. Let me tell you what that word, when we use that phrase, it means to refuse to accept something because you feel that it was not good enough for you. So God tells them in this passage, when Paul writes to the church at Galatia, he says, the question we must ask ourselves is, why not mock? Why would God be so bold to say, not only be not deceived, he says, be not mocked, or don't mock God. You know why God is saying that? God is saying, I'm God. And I can assure you, your harvest is an absolute. So while others are turning their nose up, others are scowling at you, other ones are scorning you, other ones are looking at you and looking their down their nose or turning their nose up, saying that'll never happen, that'll never come to pass. Those same people are going to have to eat humble pie when God allows that thing to manifest in your life. The problem is when we look at this passage, we only, more times than not, depending on our background, look at this text from a negative context. You're going to reap what you sow. Come on, talk to me. Y'all ever been down that road? So let's stay here. Let's stay here. You got to maintain a positive attitude. So God says here, don't move from your purpose. Don't be deceived. Don't move from the place of absolute. Believe me. Have trust. Don't be deceived. The enemy, listen, if it was powerless, why would he have to come deceive you? If it didn't mean anything being in your purpose, why does he need to seduce you? If it don't mean anything, why would he have to intentionally try to lead you astray? So you need to understand that it's all strategic. So here it is. He says, don't be mocked because my word is absolute. And the principle is this, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Let me stop right here and tell you. You know what the word whatsoever is in the Greek? Whatsoever. So that means whatever you sow, that shall you reap. The word is interesting because he says whatever a man sows. The word man there is anthropos. Anthropos is a word that it's not a word that we're unfamiliar with. We use that term when we look at Jesus. He's called the Theanthropos. Theo meaning God, Anthropos meaning man. Jesus Christ is the God-man in Scripture. So he's the Theanthropos. But when it refers to here as man, Theanthropos or Anthropos simply means human face, human being. And it means both male and female. Both male and female. So when he says whoever, whatever a man sows, he's including women. See, sometimes the scripture uses a man, and it is specifically talking about a male. But then there's times that he uses man, and he's talking about a human being. So in this passage, he's talking about a human being, and he says, whatever a man or whatever a human being sows, that shall he also reap. Listen to me. That means you got to teach your children about their actions. We got to teach our children about their attitude. We got to teach our children about the power of the words that they share. So he says, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Goes back to the principle in Genesis, the law of first mention. And that is, everything reproduces after its. Come on, say with me. Everything reproduces after its own kind. It reproduces after its own kind. So you cannot sow an apple seed and get an orange. Everything reproduces after its own kind. So here it is. Here's my next one I want to share with you. Don't miss this. And that is the third thing I want to tell you. I only got 4 points. Here's my third one. And that is, we must sow with intentionality. We must sow with intentionality. Notice he says, whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. So that means our words, our actions, our attitudes are all important. Good seed will produce a good harvest. Bad seeds will produce what? A bad harvest. So some of us, listen to this, some of what we may be reaping right now is a direct result of our own actions. I give an example. Here you are, you driving down the road, you listening to K-Love. Okay, let me talk to y'all over here. You minding your own business, driving down the road, listening to K-Love, driving, praising the Lord, and somebody cut you off and then flip you the bird. See, I can see some of you right now saying, because some of y'all just thought they just got the bird flipped back to them. That's what you're thinking. But that's why God sent you here listen to me this morning, to tell you, don't react, but respond. It is not for you to react with the same venomous poison that was shot at you. You need to make sure that, why? Because whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. So that woman, that man, that child that flipped you the bird, they are going to reap according to the principle of God's word what they have sown. The challenge is not for you to react, but to respond. Because guess what happened? When you react just like them, you get exactly what they get. So, whatever a man sows, that, somebody shout that, that shall he also reap. Matter of fact, let me go a little further and tell you, also how much we sow makes a difference as well. Let me show you. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse, says something very powerful. And we sometimes look at this only as it relates to finances, but you need to see first the principle. Does it apply to finances? Yes, but it is not limited to finances. It's the principle. Listen to what he says. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also what? Reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also what? Reap bountifully. So that means when you sow a lot of goodness, guess what you reap? A lot. That's you. Listen, I know a lot of people are saying, I'm praying for favor. God bless me with favor. Let Pastor Willa teach you how to guarantee favor will show up in your life. Sow favor in somebody else's. Because God is not going to violate the integrity of his word. So when you sow favor, guess what you do? You reap favor. If you sow a little favor, you get what? A little favor back. If you sow a lot of favor, you get? Did you not know that you could be the answer to somebody else's prayer by simply doing the right thing? So he who's, matter of fact, let's look at the next verse. Look at the next verse that says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Goes back to my point number 3, and that is sow with intentionality. He says, so let each one who gives as purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So what you give should really be a reflection of just what's in your heart, not as a desire to get. It ain't just about finances either. I know there's a lot of people running around in the body of Christ teaching that if you want more money, give more money. And there's a principle to be said about that. But it's still got to be a heart thing, because if you're done out of greed, it's still the wrong motives. The principle is this, that it should be done from a cheerful heart. Somebody say a cheerful heart. In other words, we're not giving to get, we get to give. Why? Because God has blessed us with the ability to be able to give. So when you give your kind words, it was God that blessed you with your vocal cords. That's why we don't have to prop and prime anybody to worship. You ought to thank God the fact that your vocal cords work together. Did you know that nobody in the world has your same vocal cord patterns? Just like your fingerprint. Nobody in the world has your fingerprint. So what you touch is unique to who you are. So there will never be a duplicate. There'll never be nobody like you. There'll never be a touch like you bring to the table, because nobody has your fingerprints. But the same is true about your vocal cords. So that means when you speak, nobody else can speak. Even though there's comedians out there that can mimic voices, they say that if you take it and put it under scrutiny, under a test, you could be able to determine that that's not the original person. Why? Because they have, just like a fingerprint, it has its own unique patterns. My point is this, it has to be a heart thing. So we must give with intentionality. So that means my actions must be done with intentionality. My attitude must be done with intentionality. My words that I speak must be done with intentionality. Because if we're going to talk about the cycle, we must talk about what does it take to break a cycle. And when I say break the cycle breaker, I'm talking about the negative cycles. But you need to understand that you can have some good cycles and break them with some bad decisions too. Okay, I'm going to talk to y'all over here. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in a good cycle? And then all of a sudden you did something dumb over and over and over, and because of those choices, all of a sudden that favor or that blessing that was there, all of a sudden now starts to diminish, because the quality of our life is oftentimes determined by the quality of our choices. So here it is. Let me give you an example about breaking cycles. I alluded to this earlier, but a woman that is on her cycle, when a seed is sown, her cycle stops. Why? Because she is now receive the seed, she goes through, for sake of time, She goes through her trimesters, first, second, and third trimester. She goes through the gestation period. It lasts about 38 to 40 weeks. She goes through this, but the cycle, for the most part, under healthy circumstances, the cycle is broken. That's not the only time cycles are broken. When you look at Malachi, the third chapter, and you look at verses number 9, 10, and 11, when you give your tithe, did you know that you break a cycle? The Bible says that the devourer is after your stuff. I don't know about you, but I've had the devourer eat some stuff up in my life in the past. And let me tell you something. When you give your tithe, when you give your offering, the Bible says that you can read it. Matter of fact, some of y'all from Missouri, let me read it. Let me read it real quick. Lord have mercy. Malachi, the third chapter. I'm going to read that and I'm going to get off of it because I don't want you to lose your shout. Okay. Malachi, the third chapter, verse 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. Listen to what he says. Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up you the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. You know what God is promising you? Listen, a harvest. He says, if you sow it, I promise you. And did you know out of the 66 books, there's only one place in all the scriptures where God says you can test him? God says, I want you to put me to the test. And listen to what he says. Don't miss this. He says, not only will there not be room enough for you to receive it, the second thing he says is this, verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You know what he's saying? He's saying that you can break that negative cycle and become a cycle breaker by sowing the right seed. So seeds can be sown to break a cycle as well. Let me give you another one. Go with me real quick. Let me show you this one, and then I'll get my last point. Go to Proverbs 15 and 1. Let me show you this. Matter of fact, I would tell you, during this power up, I would encourage you to, I know it's sort of old school. Y'all got all these, I don't know how to work all these smart devices yet, but I would encourage y'all who maybe around my age or haven't learned, grab your Bibles and bring your highlighters and highlight it under. I don't want to do, listen, sweetie, your Bible was to be used. Your Bible is not to be idolized. Get it off your coffee table, dust it off, and let's start marking that thing up so we can learn some things. Amen. So look here. Listen to this. Check this out. I want to show you this last one. Proverbs, are you there? Proverbs 15. 15 and 1 says this. A soft word turns away what? But a harsh word does what? So here it is. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So you can sow a soft answer and listen, break the cycle of an atmosphere of wrath, an attitude of wrath. Listen, even if it's in yourself, sowing that word, soft word, will change the atmosphere. Check this out. Let me give you this one. He says, but a harsh word. Notice how a harsh word can create its own cycle as well. Have you ever done that? Have you ever came home and you sort of having a good day and then somebody in the house had an attitude? And then they say something a little, you know, they say something to sort of get, you know, like, okay, I'm going to ignore it this time because I'm trying to move on. And then they just jab you again and you're like, let me just tell you something. Listen, you have a bad day. We all going to have a bad day. Listen to me. Y'all ought to see y'all's faces. Like, y'all are looking at, y'all are looking at like, Some of y'all can't do this. You're pointing your big toe at them. You're like, I want you to see that you can change the narrative by the words that you speak. You can choose to continue to do what you've been doing, but as the words of Dr. Phil, how is that working out? So listen, harsh words stirs up anger. That's the words that have sown. You can read this later. Verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. That deals with not just with salvation, it deals with the soil of our flesh as well as it being spiritual or fleshly. It talks about the soil of our heart is what that's dealing with. For the sake of time, I want to go to verse 9. Here it is. Here's my fourth and final point. And that is, don't lose heart. Verse 9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I love this because it was Jensen Franklin, pastor of a free chapel, that says, and I quote, "Everything you ever wanted is just on the other side of not giving up." Did you hear what I said? Everything you ever wanted is just on the other side of not giving up. He says, let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary. Say that with me. Let us not grow weary. That word in the Greek is eklekeo, and it means to become spiritless. It means to become wore out. It means to become exhausted. Now, this confused me because I'm thinking to myself, how do I keep myself from becoming spiritless? How do I keep myself from becoming wore out? How do I keep myself from becoming exhausted? How do I prevent such a thing? Well, in this Greek lettering of this particular word, it's an illustration of someone who has become, listen to this, deflated. Don't forget that. Becomes deflated. It's a person who has become empty. You ever become deflated? Have you ever became just empty? You know why we become empty? Because we don't replenish. We don't become refreshed. We don't go back and gas back up again. The opposite of this Greek word, weary, literally means to be active. It means to be lively. Listen to this. Don't miss this because this confused me. It means to be bouncy. Hey, not that type of bouncy, but that's what I thought about when I seen the word. Okay, I'm just, hey. Okay, that's my definition. Y'all ain't got to look at me in that tone of voice. You come up with your own word, but I was thinking, hey, bouncy. And it dawned on me, Caitlin, check this out. It dawned on me that when you look at this word and he says it means to be weary means to be spiritless. It means to be wore out. It means to be exhausted. And it's a picture of someone who has become deflated. It's a picture of someone who has become empty. And the opposite of that is to be lively, to be active, to be bouncy. I found out the word bouncy is closely related to the word resiliency. Anybody ever play basketball? Anybody? Because this won't work too much with a softball. But anybody play basketball? You ever been playing basketball and the basketball all of a sudden the air goes out of it? It doesn't bounce quite as well, does it? If at all. Because what it's filled with and how it's designed, basketballs are not made in a square shape. They're round. And being round helps its resiliency. In other words, its ability to bounce back. And so in the text, he is saying, don't become wore out. You have an option. You have a choice. Make up your mind that you're going to keep doing well. Be motivated by doing the right thing. Be motivated that you're making progress. Be motivated that your harvest is coming, that God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he slack concerning his promises. If God said it, he meant it. If he spoke it, he will bring it to pass. Keep doing the right thing. But that ain't got nothing to do with my exhaustion. I'm tired. I'm wore out. So how do I bounce back after this? He says, then you must intentionally get yourself refilled again. Look at your neighbor and say, get back in his presence. Yeah, you got to make up your mind that you're going to get back into his presence so you can be filled again. Get in his presence so you can be filled. The Bible says in his presence is the fullness of joy. Joy has a way of building you up. In his presence is gladness evermore. Gladness has a way of building you up. And when you make up your mind that you're going to get back in his presence, it is transformative. So this is what I found out. I was driving down the road. Me and Bella was coming back from this funeral in San Antonio this past weekend, yesterday, and we was talking about this passage as we was going down the highway, and we was talking about this, and I said, you know what? Resiliency, that seems like a weeble wobble. Y'all heard of a weeble wobble, right? A weeble wobble. Y'all remember the weeble wobble? Hey. A weeble wobble. Y'all heard of what they was round at the bottom. You push them over, they run in, they come back. But they were all made usually out of plastic from the top to the bottom. And I realized that couldn't be it. because it's solid. It's plastic all the way through. So I kept on reading, kept on researching. It was more like a Bop bag. Y'all remember the Bop bag? Sometimes, come on, somebody say yes. Anybody remember the Bop bag that came? There was a Hulk. Some of y'all had Spider-Man. Some of y'all had Superman. And it had sand at the bottom. And it was rounded. And it was filled with air. And when you pushed it over, it popped back up. You kicked it over and it popped back up. You held it down, and when you let it go, it popped back up. That's a picture of you, baby. God has so filled you with his presence that when the enemy hits you, you will pop back up. He may kick you, pop back up. He may put his foot on your neck, but when God makes him move, you're going to pop. God, I feel like preaching up in here. Yes, I do. Listen, look at your neighbors. I'm getting ready to come back. You don't realize that there's resilience in me. Talk about me if you want to. Cuss me out if you please. I'm still going to bounce back. So listen. My time is up. Listen to this. You got to change the narrative of what you speak. Listen, your actions makes a difference. Lean in. Your attitude makes a difference. Your words makes a difference. When me and Bella was coming back, I'm a big guy, so she's got to stop and feed me. And so we stopped to eat in the little mall area where we stopped. It was P.F. Chang's. I don't mind mentioning that. They're not going to give me any credit for mentioning them, but that's okay. Maybe somebody will mail me a coupon or something. A coupon, you know what I'm saying? So here we go. We sat there, and we went to this little store. Michaela had mentioned to me in passing about some shoes or whatever at this particular store. I'd never been to this store before. Never have I ever been to this store. And Bella said, hey, there's the particular store. And so I said, okay, let's go in there. And I looked, and I flipped over. She need a job. I mean a good job. You know what I'm saying? A good job. She needs a job. Now, let me teach you something. Let me teach you, because I'm about to tell on myself. I knew she had already told me what she wanted. And she's like her dad. She's very intentional. And she will go without to get what she wants. And she had told me, and I went, and I said, okay, we'll get these, you know, sandals or whatever they were. And I said, okay. And Bella said that when the person came by to get the credit card, I just did like this. I don't know if I did that, but I believe her. I don't think she would lie on me. I don't guess. But she said you just sort of was dismissive and you gave it. It's a point, so y'all bear with me. I gave it to her. When she did it, I could feel the pain in the back. You know what I'm saying? So she brings it back. I put it in my pocket, and I walked away, and me and her was walking. And you remember, this has been my girl for 28 years. And so in a moment of confession, I said, you know, that's more than I would have spent. I said, I got it honestly, because I grew up in a household that my parents didn't do very bad. My parents them owned businesses for long as I can remember. And they went, but my dad complained about every single penny. Every single penny he complained. Every single penny. And inside of me, he don't realize, but and I don't mean any disrespect for my father. He just celebrated 80 years old on the first. I honor my father. I am my father's son, so I share this because I'm a byproduct. He didn't realize that in his effort to talk so vehemently about money, he devalued us. Not intentionally, but he did. And so I told Bella, I said, as I come out, and even though that's something that I wouldn't have normally done in my past because I am my father's son, I said, I realized something, walk out of that store. Don't buy, shut up, and don't complain. Or if you buy it, rejoice that you were able to get it. That's not for everybody, but that's for somebody in this room. You need to change the narrative of what you speak out of your mouth. I walked around complaining about what I spent because that's what my father did all of my life. And I believe he got it from his father. And I realized that I raised three daughters. And when you got a father complaining about what he spends, it devalues them. Because you should be able to say, if daddy could do more, I would, but I'm blessed to give you this. That's the posture and the attitude and the action we need to take on. That's the attitude. You ain't got to keep up with the Joneses. And I'm just using it as an example. I'm saying to you, your actions, your attitudes, your words will reap you a beautiful harvest, or it will reap a curse in your life. And my father didn't realize that by his behavior, by not sitting down teaching us formally, but just being an example, you ain't worth a plug nickel. Anybody ever heard that? Come on, country folks. Anybody here? Some of y'all saying, what is a plug nickel? I don't know to this day. But it's a nickel with no value because it's got a hole in it. He says, you ain't worth a plug nickel. He didn't mean that. He grew up saying those things. So can I ask you this question? What are you speaking into your circles of influence that is devaluing them? This is what I want to do before we leave here. I want us to walk out being intentional that when it comes to the people that God is putting us in front of, be it our spouses, our children, our co-workers, our leaders, our employees, our employer, we're going to speak life. Pastor Willie, what if they come and I go to work and they're cussing all the time and cussing me out? Listen, first of all, you're nobody's doormat. But number two, a soft word turns away wrath. Quit trying to go at it alone and partner with God and believe God to respond for you. Because a lot of times, did you know when you seek to God, take it to God, he takes care of it before you even have to say something? Pray. Pray. In these last few moments, if you've been devalued, when you look back at your life, your childhood, that marriage, that really, you were devalued. I'm believing God before you get out of here for God to show you who you truly are and your true value. And let nothing or no one take you back beneath that place. Secondly, for those who have spoke words of negativity, negative attitude, because you can speak negatively without opening your mouth, rolling your eyes, sucking your teeth. So those are still effective, or what I should say, unhealthy ways of communicating without you speaking a word. So this is what I want you to do. This is the thing I felt like God challenged me with, to challenge you. Start putting this in place and see, does it not change the atmosphere of your home and your circle of influence? See that it does not. Every head is bowed.
Hey, we hope you enjoyed the podcast this week. And if you did, we invite you to take a moment to subscribe and follow our page. That way the word can be ready and waiting for you each and every week. Thanks again for joining us online, and we'll see you next time.